Well, welcome to another episode of WA This Week. First up, a disturbing story in the media this week about pregnant women being turned away from hospitals when they're trying to access maternity services in the hospitals. I mean, just imagine you're a new mum, or even if you're not a new mum, even if you're a mum for a second or third time, you have all of those important milestones that you need to get checked up for the development of your child. And you would know, for all the parents there, you'd know how important that is for the parents, that you have that reassurance that everything's okay. You may have concerns. There may be things happening that you want to get checked out. You come to the hospital where you expect to get treated, where you've been treated before, and you can't be admitted into the hospital or can't come and have your appointment in the hospital because the hospital's simply full. It can't take any more patients, and it can't take you in that important time of your life when you're expecting another child. I mean, that's just appalling. I mean, we're not talking about a country that's broke or a state that's on its knees. We're talking about a state that has the largest budget surpluses of any state in Australia. We're talking about a state that is enormously wealthy on any scale, either within Australia or globally, and yet, because of the complete inaction of the McGowan Labor government in maintaining proper and adequate health services, mums can't get in expectant mums can't get into a hospital for their appointments around their maternity concerns. You know, this is just appalling. And we have a government, they love to blame everyone but themselves. You know, this month, the ambulance ramping was 6,775 hours. Now, that's almost 220 hours a day of ambulances ramped outside hospitals in Perth. And I've mentioned this before, the government liked to make this out to be a problem of St John's ambulance making. But actually, the ambulances aren't ramped out there because they want to be ramped out there. Those ambulances want to get those sick people into the hospital as quickly as they can. There are outstanding staff in St John's who do that outstanding work. They want to get them to the hospitals, but they can't because there's no room in the hospitals. They can't get the patients in there. Now, last month, it was 6,982. And I remind you, we had Minister Cook and Premier and Opposition Leader McGowan, as he was, when they were in opposition, when the Liberals and Nationals were in government, they said 1,030 hours of ambulances being ramped outside of hospitals because of bed blockage was a crisis. And here they are reaching a record of almost 7,000 hours last month. And as I said, they love to blame everyone but themselves. They love to make up excuses, and they do just make up excuses. We heard it with the health minister saying that the red squaring, that is sick patients who are on beds in the hospitals, in the corridors where they were permanently marked out because of lack of space in the wards, that was patients who were being discharged. And then we heard from the Medical Association, completely untrue. In fact, those were sick patients, typically, who'd been admitted to the hospital and needed to go into ED or into another ward who couldn't get there because there was no space. What do we hear now is the government are blaming the flu season. They're saying this is the worst flu season we've ever had. This is the worst season, and it's because of COVID and all the other things they like to blame. Well, let's look at the truth of that statement, because as you'll soon see, it doesn't bear any scrutiny whatsoever. And I'll just take you through a few numbers just quickly. In 2017, the number of hospital admissions for people with flu or influenza type symptoms in the month of July and August, or there's a standard 8 weeks period that the statistics measure, was 30.8. So that was the number across 2017. 2018, 38.2. 2019, pre-COVID, well before COVID, 55.3. 2020, 17.3. 2021, 28.8. 2022, 36.1. So there's your record. There's the hospital overwhelmed with patients' presentation in that 8 week period that they measure. Let's go back. 2022, 36.1. 2019, 55.3. I mean, it's just simply untrue to say that influenza is causing this ongoing bed blockage in the hospital. We know what's causing the bed blockage in the hospital. There aren't enough hospital beds. That's the simple fact of it. There aren't enough hospital beds. We know that when Fiona Stanley Hospital was opened in the term of this government, a hospital built by the previous Liberal National Government, we know that when that was opened, hundreds of beds were left unopened because they didn't have the staff. We know that this government stopped medical personnel coming into the state from overseas during the 2 years of the COVID lockdowns, which was just crazy, and we told them that at the time. But to blame the influenza for their failure is just a disgrace. And it's another example of a government who hasn't done their job. The McGowan Labor government have completely failed on health. Ordinary Western Australians' health is suffering because of it. Mums can't get maternity services in the hospital because of it. And they just make up excuses. It's just appalling. Here we've got the so-called new health minister, although she's been in that role for a while now, just making stuff up and not coming out and admitting that they've failed and telling us what she's going to do about it. Where's the next major tertiary hospital? Because that's what this state needs. We need another major tertiary hospital. It should have been built by now, and we wouldn't be having these problems. Another area that is impacting a lot of Western Australians is cost of living. We have the dubious honour of having the highest inflation rate in the state that we've had for 11 years, but because you all know that. You see that in your household budget when you go to the supermarket to buy your food, when you go to the petrol station to fill up with fuel, when you get your insurance premiums and the like. You know that those costs are going up. Now, it's just really disappointing that the McGowan government still hasn't come to the party to help struggling Western Australian households, and many are seriously struggling now, particularly with interest rates going up. We've seen no proper effort by this government to help you with that. Now, we said to them at the start of this financial year, when they brought in their new budget, we said, look, you don't need to increase government fees and charges. That's just a whack on every household in the state. That's just going to add to the distress households are experiencing. Just freeze those fees and charges. Now, the government just refused to do it. They just don't care. They think that they've got complete control of Parliament. They think that no matter what they do, they're going to get re-elected in the next election in 2025. So they can just do what they like. Just ignore you. Ignore the pressures on your household. And increase those fees and charges them. They talk about their $400 electricity credit, which I've talked about before. All the underlying fees and charges have gone up. So next year, you're going to be paying substantially more for everything than you were in the previous year. But if we have a look at the revenue that the government's going to get, they're going to get around $156 million more in taxation revenue this year than they did last year. Now, that's money out of your pocket. This government was in a position to give you relief. They chose not to do it, and they chose to add to the financial distress that you're experiencing right now. And again, for a government that claims that it supports the ordinary worker, the ordinary person, they just betrayed them by not taking the simple decision to freeze those fees and charges. And there's still time for them to reverse them. Right now, the government could make a decision to reverse those increases. We know they won't. We know they don't care. They're so arrogant, they think they don't have to do that because no matter what happens, they're going to get re-elected next time. You'd know I've spoken before about issues in Carnarvon. Carnarvon, look, a town with the most enormous potential. It's just in a fabulous location. There are lots and lots of really hard-working, good people there, trying to build a better future in that town. But that town is going through a crime epidemic, and it's really distressing. In Parliament, I raised this issue, and we had the Community Services Minister, as I spoke about before, talking about some long-term program to help deal with some of the issues, particularly of youth crime. But nothing right now. She won't commit to build a safe house in that town so that little kids can have a safe place to sleep at night. Can have a meal and can go to school the next day. We had the police minister saying that crime in Carnarvon was improving. What a farce. I went to Carnarvon just a couple of weeks ago and was chatting to folk there. I spoke to a lot of people. Every single person I spoke to had experienced serious crime. I mean, some people in the most horrendous circumstances, home invasions, homes being broken into, and some of it's quite organised and some serious criminal activity, but the great majority of that crime is being carried out by little kids. And here's the double tragedy. You've got the residents of Carnarvon who don't feel safe. Many of them don't feel safe at night because they're worried about kids breaking into their houses. But of course, those little kids, they're not getting a fee, they're not getting dinner, they're not having a shower, they're not sleeping in a warm, safe bed at night, they're not getting up and going to school the next day. Their whole future is being stolen from them. It's just absolutely horrendous. What I'm calling on is the Premier to go to Carnarvon and visit those residents. Now, I've said the Premier should do that, but if the Premier wants to ignore me, then the Premier should listen to the residents of Carnarvon, because they're saying, Premier, your ministers aren't telling you the truth. You're not getting the true story of what's happening in Carnarvon. Will you please come and visit? And look, Premier, you know, if you need an incentive to go there, I'm quite prepared to put on $1,000 a bottle wine tasting for you, if you like. If that's the motivation you need, clearly that's what gets you into my electorate, into the western suburbs. You seem pretty keen on that. So, you know, take up the offer, Premier. But otherwise, if you don't need that incentive, get into Carnarvon and see what's going on. Because if you're there for even half an hour, you'll see that what you're being told isn't true. If you're there on a school day, you'll see dozens of kids who just aren't at school who are walking around the street. If you go into the shopping centre there, the main shopping centre in town, there's a high probability you're going to see people fighting, arguing, and other antisocial behaviour in that shopping centre. You'll see other activity that will shock you if you actually go there and see it firsthand. I encourage you to do it, Premier. Go there and see what's going on, and then come and tell your ministers to do their job. Because they're not telling the truth in Parliament when they say that crime's decreasing and that there aren't issues in the town. And they're clearly not telling you the truth. So get that Carnarvon, Premier. Listen to the residents there. Hear what they have to say. Go and talk to them and hear their stories. I think you'll be shocked, and hopefully that will spur you to spur your ministers into action. I had a chance over the last couple of days to get to Exmouth. Now, Exmouth is quite a contrast to Carnarvon, a very safe town. They don't have a lot or any significant antisocial behaviour in that town. A vibrant community, but a community that is being held back by inaction by government in terms of facilitating development of that town. It's just a fantastic place. It has fantastic potential. Yep, look, it's a great town, and particularly this time of year, during the sort of peak tourist season, it's good. But for 4 months of the year, they, like many residents, don't get any work and don't have any work. Many businesses don't have any activity, and that's really tough for them. There are things that could be done in that community, but they're not getting the support. Look, I don't have time today to go on at length about it, but I will revisit this topic in a future podcast and video. But just a great town, but a great town that's being held back because we've got a government that does not provide sufficient focus on the regions, and we see it time and time again. Something that you may have, if you listen to the radio or watch some of the media on Friday, this is last Friday, and if you read the Western Australian, there's a great article in there. It relates to an issue raised by my great colleague, the Honourable Donna Farragher, on early childhood services. Now, I did talk about this last week in the podcast and just some of the horrendous wait times. You know, serious areas where parents need serious professional help, developmental issues for young children, and they just can't get the services in a timely manner in the public system. And that's just unfair that that people have to go into the private system to get a service that should be available for parents, for their children in the public system. And Donna's just a fantastic person on this. It's an area she's very passionate about. She's got some great ideas about what can be done to improve this. Thanks to her good raising of this issue and the way that she's done it, she's been able to get the government to agree to a parliamentary inquiry into this area, and they're going to look into a range of areas around the early childhood services and look at those recommendations, look at models from other states, which Donna has raised. There are some great models in other states about how you can actually, even with the same resources, deliver those services in a more effective way. One of the areas I think is quite disappointing is Donna was really keen that the inquiry look at the what's the impact of the lack of those services. So understand, you know, if you don't have those services, how does that affect kids? How does that affect their development? Because that then gauges, you know, the effort you have to make here. But for whatever reason, I suspect it's because the government again wants to pretend there's not, you know, not a serious issue. They've excluded that from the terms of reference. But look, it's good that there's an inquiry going to go ahead. And I know Donna's, you know, said at least that they can look at part of this problem and part of the issues, and some good things I think can come out of that. But I really congratulate Donna. She's just really worked hard on this, been really dogged, and I'm really looking forward to the outcomes of that inquiry. Thank you very much for listening to WA This Week. Greatly appreciate that. Don't forget that you can subscribe on any of your podcast services, so whatever they are. I think we're on all of them now, so just look up WA This Week. Please also you can get the video version on Facebook, LinkedIn or YouTube by just looking for Dr. David Honey. Please give us your feedback, and in particular, please share it with your friends and colleagues. Get the message out. You know, this is one of the great avenues we have to get our story out. Very easy for the government with it. I think they've got well over 100 media people working for them now. We work with a much leaner team of two. So please get the message out and, you know, share it with your colleagues so that we can put pressure on this government, which, you know, outside, it's hidden behind COVID and hasn't done its job managing the rest of the state. And I think that is a message that the government needs to get back from you. Thank you.